God is good. Go with me to Psalm 126. Did you have something, sweetie? Okay. I thought I forgot something. Imagine that, right?
Hallelujah. You got your wife to tell you where to go?
Yes. She usually tells me after I've missed the turn that I missed. It's funny how that works, right? Psalm 126, say, I got it. You got it?
I got it. Right.
When the Lord brought the captive ones of Zion, we were like those who dream. If you have your Bible, underline that. Those who dream. Then, everybody say then. Our mouth is filled with laughter and our tongue with joyful shouting. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Hallelujah. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad.
Hallelujah.
Restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams of the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. He who goes to and fro weeping, carrying his bag of seed. Amen. We all need to have a bag of seed. Amen.
Yeah.
Shall indeed come again with a shout of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. How many of you sang that hymn when you were a kid? Bringing in the sheaves.
Yeah. Wow. I admitted it, Rick.
Help me out. Thank you, Bill.
Margie,
I forget you. I know you're saying it. Well, I did too. We thought it was bringing in the cheese. But where's the cheese going to get here when you say that? Hallelujah. How many know it's about harvest? Amen?
Yes,
it's about harvest and the joy of harvest. Hallelujah. I love this passage and everything that it entails regarding those who dream. That's what I'm bringing your attention to. Those who dream. And the kingdom results that come because we dream. Okay? Here's what I want to ask you. I want to ask you this individually and corporately. What are we dreaming of? What are we dreaming of? I'll say to those of you that are a part of our fellowship, that are watching online, what are we dreaming of? What are we dreaming about? Amen? I mean, it's really important. Because our God is a dreamer. His people dream. There's something that we have vision for. Amen?
Amen?
At the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we remember Peter stood up. He began to quote from the book of the prophet Joel. We know it well, don't we? He said, this is what the last days will be like. Amen? The church age. Amen? My spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. Anybody can have an infilling of the Holy Spirit that will take it. Amen? And then he said, your sons and your daughters will even prophesy.
Right.
But then he also said, we'll dream dreams and we'll see visions. Amen?
Amen.
So we're to be, it's that language of the Spirit of God and how He communicates to us. See, even when you were saved, the Spirit of adoption spoke to your spirit that you were a child of God. Right?
Amen.
So it's the communication of the Spirit of God that comes into our heart in a mighty way. Unfortunately, let's be honest, a lot of times we don't develop that realm in communication with the Holy Spirit like we should. Amen?
Yeah.
I thank God I know I'm saved, but my life is a lot more than just knowing I'm saved.
Amen.
And if I'm communing with the Holy Spirit, dreams and visions are going to be a part of that. Amen?
Yeah.
You keep something in front of you, otherwise you won't pursue it. If you don't see anything, right? If you don't have a goal or a target in mind. Amen? So it's important. Proverbs says this, a people without a vision, the old King James says, they perish. Newer translations say they lose their way or they cast off restraint. They just kind of like, you know, they're just so restrained. You know, how do you know a dream or a vision, an impartation from God spiritually like that will actually keep you on track?
Yeah.
Amen? Because it sets a goal. It paints the target for us. It's what prophecy does.
Yeah.
It paints that target so we can know what we're running after. Otherwise, what happens is we just kind of run loose. We run off the rails, as they say.
Yeah.
Amen? Y'all see how important this is?
Yeah.
And so we understand that. Let's be like those who dream. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So having vision, I believe, having vision is actually the result of being a people who dream. Y'all with me?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When you dream with God, you're going to get vision.
Right.
Amen? And that's important for us. Again, I want you to think of this in a corporate way, but also think of it as an individual way, because I believe it works in both. There's something we do corporately as the body of Christ. There's also things God has for your life on an individual level that might be different than mine, right?
Yep.
Something I'm dreaming of. And there's a lot of things, and I'll talk about that more. Always remember this. There's two areas of your mind. One area is the cognitive, analytical thinking, right? That, you know, the reasoning part of your mind, right? In that area. But the other part is a word in the Greek, dianoia. And it means, I don't know if I said that right, but it means the picture part, the imaging part. You've heard people say this, well, you know, he's kind of right brain or left brain, right?
Yeah.
We, even in psychology, they recognize there's areas. The problem is we're supposed to operate in both of them. We're not supposed to lean one way or the other. In fact, we don't dream enough, and we don't see things enough. Well, really, you can sum it up best as your imagination. The area of your imagination.
Right.
In the more layman's term, we would say, my mind's eye. Right?
Right.
I see that in my mind's eye. Anybody with me?
Yeah.
You can do that. In the thoughts of the heart, when you see that phrase in the Bible, many, many times, that when it says the thoughts of a man's heart, it's actually speaking of his imaginations.
Yeah.
Is what it's talking about. Yeah. You can't separate. Think about this. If you have a thought, okay, everybody look at me. Do not think about a red Volkswagen Beetle. Yeah, everybody's seeing one, right? Y'all get it? That's the power of a thought, right? And it's the power also of a negative thought if you entertain it, right?
Yeah.
Right? Then you'll suddenly start to see it. You'll imagine the wrong thing. Are you with me? Okay? Everybody with me? This is the way God created us, and it's actually kind of neat. Now, when mankind is in a mess before the Noah built the ark and God had to come flood everything and change things around, this is what the Lord said, that the every imagination of the thoughts of a man's heart was only evil continually. They were just obsessed with it. They were an imagination run amok, right, with evil. Okay? Now, with that in mind, I want you to go read Ephesians 3, 19. Very familiar verses that we talk about almost every Sunday lately. But it says in Ephesians 3:19, to know, that means experientially to know, the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, or more cognitive knowledge, right? It's to experience. It's beautiful the way we went there and worshiped today, wasn't it?
Yeah. Right.
To experience that. How many of you know He loves you cognitively?
That's right.
We know He loves us. We know the Word. We know the Word. But when you know,
yeah.
You get with this, and that's the importance of that. That you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. So my lacking in this area of experiencing the love of God is impacting my ability to be full of God.
That's right.
Wow. Right? The fullness of God. Excuse me. Now to Him who is able, say He's able, to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. According to the power that works where? Within us. To Him be the glory, where? Talk to me. In the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations. Is that up there? No, it's not up there. To all generations forever and ever. Amen. I promise I gave you the word.
That's true.
I gave you the right scripture. Okay. It's important that we ask and think. Would you agree?
Yes.
It's important that we pray, that we ask. It's also important what we imagine. Because that word for think, imagine. That's what it really means.
Yes.
In other words, God can do above and beyond what you and I could ever imagine or ask for. Mm-hmm. Ah. Amen?
Amen?
So if He's being limited, it's not Him limited in Himself.
Right.
God's wanting us to expand ourselves in this area. Yeah. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen in the natural.
Yeah.
But actually, faith does see it, it just doesn't see it naturally. You see it in that area of your mind. Amen. You can see it. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. What was she saying to herself? If I could just touch the hem of His garment, I know I will be healed.
Yeah.
So in all that journey to get to Jesus, the Bible says she was saying to herself, amen? That was her thoughts, was it not? It was her imagination too.
Yeah.
She could picture herself grabbing His garment.
Yeah.
And what she did, the energy of the power of God, though everybody else was touching Him too, she touched Him in the power of this dimension of faith. Amen? We talked a lot about faith the last few weeks, okay? But I'm telling you, this is an important part of faith. Faith sees it and imagines it before it's ever made manifest. Amen? And that's what keeps you going strong. Amen? Because, you know, I see it. I know it's going to happen. Amen? We use our imagination all the time, don't we? For good or for evil. We use it all the time. Even in very common and practical ways we use it. Let's say you rented an apartment or a house or bought a new house. And you went over to the house before the furniture gets there. Amen? I like to go after it's all been put in. You go over before the furniture gets there. And what do? You walk in and go, well, I'll tell you what, we'll probably put the couch over here. I mean, usually Susan will make those decisions. I promise you, I don't make those decisions. Put the couch over here, we'll put the TV on this wall. And coffee. I mean, that's your imagination even in the simplest thing like that. You're imagining what that's going to look like with your stuff in the room. Right with you.
Yeah.
I'm not getting weird here. This is just the way it works. It's a part of it. But for some reason, we tend to not understand the power of this in our spiritual communication with God. Because after all, our communication with God is through the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
The problem is, what we have is when we cultivate our imagination, when we don't cultivate our imagination around the Word of God.
That's
right. Amen? And the Spirit of God. Amen? Truth, the Word, means what is real. It means spiritual realities. It's the truth is the reality of another realm, the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? It's not merely just black and white words. Truth, it is the Word, but it's what the Word reveals.
Yeah.
Even Jesus said His words are spirit and they are life. Amen?
Yeah, man.
You still with me?
Yeah.
Now, our God is able to do above and beyond all that we can think or imagine. So would you agree with me that it's important what we're imagining?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Because the enemy wants us to imagine the worst.
That's true.
Does he not?
Yeah.
In any situation, we have a choice. We're going to either imagine the worst or we're going to set our imagination on what truth
says.
That's right. And I've said it to you 100 times, but truth always will trump the facts. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's what we need to understand. And when we dream, we're seeing those things we're believing for. You know, the patriarchs and the matriarchs of our faith were dreamers. Were they not? And you know what? And they suffered persecution for it. Remember Joseph, his brother said, oh, here comes the dreamer.
Yeah,
dude. Well, dude, his dream, it all worked out. Did it not?
Yeah.
Amen. And so you got to understand that. And it kind of comes with the territory sometimes. And so a lot of times people misunderstand it. And I'll address a couple of things about visualization and the New Age, because that's not what I'm talking about.
Right.
Everybody clear?
Right.
All that stuff is a counterfeit of the real.
Yeah.
Amen? Okay. All right. I guess I'm already dealt with it. Okay. But dreaming is an essential part of this faith equation of activating our measure of faith, receiving a spirit of faith, but we need to dream and imagine. Jesus said, whatever you desire when you pray. How many know it's good to pray?
He says that. Yeah.
It's good to pray things, right?
Yeah.
But how many of you know just praying something out of sheer obedience, like, I know I need to pray for the lost, okay? But how many know when you pray with a desire, now you're interceding?
Yeah.
Now, it's something of the heart. It takes it to it. How many know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I pray a lot of things, and I don't necessarily have the desire. But you know what? The more I obey God and pray,
yep.
And gave my heart to it and began to really activate my imagination and to see what that would really look like. What does the harvest of nations really look like?
Yeah.
Amen? What will a revival really look like? Amen?
Yeah,
and that kind of thing. How will it impact my life, my family, this church, this ministry, this city, or whatever? Fill in the blank, right?
And
it changes the way you look at things. A desire comes in prayer. And how many of you know we all need that, do we not?
Yeah.
That's what I encourage you. The part of your mind and heart that imagines and dreams hasn't left you.
Right.
We just need to reactivate it on the right things. Somebody say amen.
Yes.
At the Tower of Babel, we remember the story. The people were of one language, right? And they were of one heart and mind. Remember, they decided they were going to build a tower to go up into the heavens. And it didn't please God. We all know that, right?
Right.
And God came, if you remember, and He confused their language so they couldn't be in unity and in one accord. And of course, the tower never was successfully built, right? And we call it to this day the Tower of Babel. Because they couldn't communicate with one another, and they weren't in unity in that way. Amen? They were a bunch of Pentecostals speaking in tongues. No lie. I just said it because that's what some people think when they see it. But here's what the Lord said. Get this. No evil they imagine they can do will be impossible for them. Notice that. No evil, get this, that they imagine they can do will be impossible for them. This shows you how powerful imagination is. Amen?
Yeah.
We see the power, right? The Word of God. This is why we need to have a sanctified imagination.
Right.
Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Because here's the thing. I don't believe our imagination really lies dormant, really.
It's good.
I don't really think it does.
No.
It's just it's not always focused, directed in the right place, you know? And so a lot of times, but it doesn't really lie dormant or neutral. Let me give you, just for the sake of helping us understand, I believe there's three general, I'm using the word general, areas of imagination. You ready? Number one is a vain imagination. Okay? A vain imagination is that is set on, you know what the word says, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen?
Yeah.
Which could also be called selfish ambition.
Yeah.
You can have a lot, there's a lot of people that dream about a lot of things, but it's all vanity.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hello? It's all about them, and you know, it's their dreams, and that's kind of dreaming and fantasizing run amok, right?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
But secondly, well, let me just say this about fantasizing. Jesus said, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, if a man even looks upon a woman with lust after her in his heart, what did he say?
He's committed
He's committed adultery with her in his heart. Ouch. Yikes. Amen. He did. He took that law about adultery to a whole other level. Amen. Which is why, it wasn't just on the law of being faithful sexually. But it was talking about the fact that pornography and idolatry and any such thing is dangerous.
True, bro.
Amen? It's dangerous to your spiritual life because it captures your imagination.
That's right. Don't
and God wants to capture your
life.
The Lord of Lords wants to capture your imagination. To be the Lord of all of your life.
Come on.
And all of your heart. Amen?
Yes. Yeah.
Another area is unbelieving imagination.
Ooh.
That's where I believe unbelieving or imagination of unbelief and doubt is established on fear.
Yeah.
Amen? It's established on anxiety. It's established on easily to be intimidated by everything the enemy brings down the pathway.
Yes.
Amen? And I just ask for a show of hands, but this is a real problem. With a lot of believers in Jesus. Well, and how about this one? As a part of this unbelieving, I just call it unbelief. I couldn't find it. I was trying to find another clever thing to call it. But another part is this. When we just live in the past, we live full of regret. We're always looking about what didn't work out, what didn't. Come on. And that is a real problem because what happens is now your imagination is forming, it's established on that and not on truth, on the Word of God. Amen? So it's very, how many know this is also very negative?
Yeah.
Amen?
Come on.
It's very condemning.
Yeah.
You might say, well, the guy has no imagination. Oh, he does. He's just imagining all the wrong things.
Yeah, true.
Amen?
Yeah. True.
With every trial, he thinks just the opposite of what he needs to think, right?
Yeah.
And so we have to wonder because there's a man thinks and imagines within himself, so is he. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not just an old sinner saved by grace.
That's right.
I'm an old sinner who's been saved by grace, and now I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. The righteousness of God in him. Christ lives in me.
Yeah.
It changes everything. Now I can imagine some pretty cool things about my life.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And then the third one, of course, that we want to shoot for is sanctified imagination. Amen. That's a word that is set apart on the Word of God. An imagination that's set on the desires of God. Amen. Is led by the Spirit of God. I believe a vibrant and vivid sanctified imagination will help us in four areas. Number one, it'll help us see Jesus more clearly.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. In worship and in prayer. Yes. Number two, it will help us see who we are in Christ.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
It'll also help us to see and inherit these precious and magnificent promises.
Dude.
Because you know what? If you can't see them and imagine them, it's really hard to claim them.
That's right.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? And then finally, to see and pursue the future that God has for each one of us.
Amen.
Whether we be young or whether we be old, God has ordained our days.
Amen.
But you know what? We need to see it in the Spirit. Amen? So as His believers, we have to be purposeful and intentional to dream again. And I want to encourage you, we can all dream again. And it's essential to having faith. Imagining something in our mind's eye that's far off and in the future. The other day, there's a guy that's on YouTube. He's a doctor, but he's also very into holistic things, natural remedies and things like that. And I've listened to him on certain things. He also even does physical therapy type things. Things that will help you with your back and stuff like that. And it came up in my newsfeed this week.
Okay.
I mean, I already have this message ready. It came up in my newsfeed. It said, strengthening your vision.
Wow.
So I had to click on it.
Yeah.
I had to click on it. Now, he was talking about the eyes. Here's the thing that got me the most. He said, especially now in our culture today, he said, because we spend all of our time looking at our devices and our laptops and our computers, we spend the majority of our time using our vision for up close things. He said, some of you need to put your phone down and start looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said He said, looking forward and looking ahead.
That's good.
Yeah.
And I jumped up off the couch and said, preach it, brother. Because that's exactly what we need to do. Amen?
Amen.
Are y'all getting this?
Amen.
He actually said, if your natural vision, he said you can retrain and strengthen that muscle that God that looks at little things and big things. If you'll practice looking out and looking ahead.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen?
That's good.
That's good.
I remember just a couple of trips ago, I think we were driving up past Flagstaff going up to White Coast, I think. And I was driving by some things that I knew the kids in the van had never seen. I knew they hadn't seen it because I'd never taken them there. And I'm pointing it out, and I look back in the van. Some of them never even looked up from their phone to even take it in. And I got offended, but I forgave them a few days later. No. You hear what I'm saying? We need to learn how to lift up our eyes.
Hallelujah.
Jesus even said that. Guys, lift up your eyes. The fields are white of the harvest.
Come on.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
It's something you got to practice doing. Amen.
I see it.
We don't have to practice doing this.
That's good.
I think we got this down, right? Notice I said it. Hallelujah. You know, we're the body of Christ, and we just need to spend more time looking ahead, looking forward. That's called vision. That's called dreaming. Amen. What God has for us. Strengthen our imagination. I want to encourage you, you can strengthen your imagination in this area. Because here's the thing. If I don't see it with the eyes of faith, I won't pursue it. Not really.
Right.
I might pursue it in the emotional moment of an altar call.
Right.
Or somebody prays for me. That's fine. I love to challenge people and get them to step out, take the risk on God, right, and do it. But if you don't ever really see it, begin to imagine it. Because how many of you found out, just like healing or anything else, you've got to learn to walk in it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You can't walk in it if you've gone blind in that area, and all you're imagining is it's just getting worse.
That's right.
Yeah. Instead of God's healing you and bringing you through. Does that, everybody receive that?
Yeah.
Now, I just use that as an example. I'm not picking on anybody that's in a battle for their healing. I'm just saying this is where we are. Jesus describes the Holy Spirit. Y'all help me out. The Helper.
Yep.
The Comforter. Amen. He's the anointing that teaches us, right?
Yeah.
How about this? He's the fellowship that we have with the Godhead.
Yeah. Wow.
Our fellowship with God, the Counselor.
Yeah.
But I want to talk to you about another way that Jesus spoke of Him. Because all of these talk about the different ways that He ministers to us, right? Right?
Yeah.
Same Spirit, right? He's one Spirit. But in that, it's not that Jesus couldn't decide on a name for Him. He was describing, just like God has a lot of names for Jehovah.
Yeah.
But they all describe the attributes and ways of God. He's not just a healer. He's also peace.
Right.
Amen. He's also righteousness.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
In the same way, the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of truth. Say that again. The Spirit of truth. And this is important. Because we need to understand His role with our hearts as the Spirit of truth. Let's look at Jesus' words in John 16, 13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will what? Guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will, what's that next word?
Lead.
He will disclose. You got a different translation up there? Disclose. He will disclose to you. Man, we got it in red. Jesus' words are in red on the screen. Please tell me that's red.
Yeah.
Is it red? Okay, hold on.
Hallelujah.
Took a shot there.
Yeah.
Took a risk. He will disclose to you. It literally means He will reveal to you. He'll reveal to you something. Amen? What is to come. How many like that part? Underline it. What is to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take of Mine and will disclose it or reveal it unto you. How does He disclose them? Through our spiritual senses, right? He's Spirit. He ministers to our heart. And He brings that out. He enriches our imagination. Susan and I are trying to be more intentional. To dream about what our future is, right?
Yeah.
Because if we don't, all we'll be thinking about is what everybody else does at our age. Just meddling it in. We're done.
Yeah.
And retiring, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, anybody needs this. Not just people that got to my age, but anyway. A couple of you are with me, baby. Ronald just blazing a trail away.
Yeah.
He'll show us what is to come. How do you like that?
Yes.
I love that. Which means He's got to make me be able to dream it, right? Because, I believe in getting words. Don't get me wrong. I believe in prophetic words. A lot of times, you got to understand the power of desire. Amen? You delight in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Amen?
Yeah.
If you're delighting in the Lord, your desire can be trusted.
Oh, yeah.
All right? Is that good?
Yeah.
So we can dream and envision what's ahead. We can't just expect to dream loosely or unintentionally. Like just...
Yeah.
I don't know why I'm not dreaming. I know why. You're probably not spending any time in the Word. You're not spending any time in prayer. You're not in worship before the Lord. I mean, that's how you learn to dream, amen? You've got to be intentional. Think about this. Even with the new birth, what are you? A new creation?
Yes.
Right?
Right.
The old things?
Are gone.
Have passed away. The new thing. But what does it say? Behold.
That's right. Look.
In other words, look and see that the new things have come.
But
how many of you know, if you don't get to that place of beholding the new thing that has come, it's really hard to walk in the new thing that you have become. Amen? So even in that, it works for us. I don't know. We need to spend a lot more time looking at what Christ in us really looks like. What does that really look like in my life? Amen? Think about this. Passions, desires, lust, whether they be good or evil, they all come from images and pictures in your heart. They really do. So what does the devil do? He works overtime to defile our imagination.
That's right.
Wow.
That's what he does. He works overtime to defile our imagination. And I think it's worse than ever today, again, because of...
That's right.
It used to be some of the things that I looked at as a teenage boy. I had to go out of my way. It was hard to get to it.
Yeah.
Right?
No.
Not getting my butt slapped, right? But now, anybody can just click on stuff. And so, the devil works overtime, but he's trying to defile your imagination.
That's right.
He wants to neutralize that powerful part
right.
of your heart before God. Everybody still there?
Yeah.
All right. Hallelujah. A sanctified imagination is established on what is pure and holy. It's established on the truth, right? And it will always honor the report of the Lord. A carnal imagination is obviously established on worldly things, sensual things, right? It more easily believes the evil report. You'll find yourself more easily believing the evil report, just like the 10 spies, than believing with faith, with a different spirit. This is why we have to guard the gates. I've taught on this. Do you know what the gates are? The eyes and the ears, right? Jesus said the lamp of the body is your eye. And if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. Amen?
Amen.
Amen? And if your eye is not clear, darkness comes in, and the light that you do have gets shrouded in darkness. But then he also spoke about hearing. He said, take care what you listen to. For by the measure that you listen and hear, it will be measured unto you. He was talking about you will reap a harvest of what you sow. So what we listen to and what we look upon is impacting how we dream and how we imagine.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. Marvin agrees with me.
That's true.
Because Marvin and I were pros at doing it the wrong way, don't we, brother?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Not exactly together, but
yeah.
We can.
Yeah.
Where can we find that scripture?
The gates are affecting whether or not we can dream. Sorry.
Well, where can we find that scripture about the hearing?
Mark 4. I don't know the verse.
Okay.
It's in Mark 4. Sorry. And one on the eye is Matthew 6, I think. Somewhere in the Gospel of Matthew.
5, 6, 7,
sure. Let me just say this. This is affecting whether or not we can dream purely.
Come on.
Unpolluted.
Way to go.
I don't want to dream and imagine things from an impure heart. Because
no.
Then I don't know, okay, is what I'm imagining, is this selfish ambition?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So you can get caught. So, but how do you do that? Well, Paul addressed, let's look at, you know the verse well. Go to Philippians 4:6. Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. Huh, that's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in everything, by prayer with
thanksgiving,
please say this out loud with me. Let your request be made known to God. Everybody got that?
Yeah.
It's okay to let somebody pray for you, but you need to let your request be made known to God. Amen?
That's a good word.
Come on now. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds, there it is, in Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence, if anything worthy of praise, what does it say? Dwell on these things. Now, different translations say, meditate on these things, think on these things, imagine these things.
Yeah,
man. Amen?
Yeah.
So I obviously have some control on what I think.
That's good.
Amen? It's the warfare, the battle of the mind, amen?
Yes.
And look what Paul says. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me. What's the next word?
These two.
Say it.
Practice.
Practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. How many of you like practice?
It wins. It wins.
It's kind of like everybody wants a nice body, but they don't want to go to the gym, right?
Yeah. We can tell you go to the gym.
I know y'all think I was just born with this.
That's a low blow.
All things for which you pray and ask, Jesus said, believe that you have received them.
Come on, man.
Everybody say, have received
them. Have received them.
And get this, and they will be granted you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, so I've got to believe something I don't really have yet, like I do have it.
Come on.
Exactly. That's Jesus' words.
Yes, they are.
Believe you have received it. Well, how in the world can you do that except with your imagination?
That's right. Dude, that's
good. There's no other way to do that.
Come on.
Amen.
Imagination.
Otherwise, somebody would say, well, he's schizophrenic. He's bipolar. He's all over the place, right? Sorry. How can I believe that I've received something? How can I believe what's not manifested yet? Only by the power of my imagination.
Yeah.
Dude.
Amen. Seeing by faith what's not yet seen in the natural.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
The woman, again, the woman with the issue of blood.
Amen.
Yes.
She could see herself with the issue of blood. You know what she was seeing? She was seeing herself getting healed by Jesus' robe, by the virtue that flowed through that act of faith when it was carried out. That's what she was imagining.
Amen. Amen.
And it took her to the victory. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I believe there's a time coming, and we're going to see it again. I declare that it's now, not
yes.
That when people are going to come to houses of worship to get healed.
Come on, man.
I mean, I'm coming. Those people are going to lay hands on me because I'm going to get healed
Amen.
There. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I hope you will dream about that with me.
Yes,
when a church gets a reputation that the power of God is breaking off yokes and chains and setting people free and people are getting healed, I got news for you. You don't have to try to advertise and encourage people to come.
Come on, power of God.
They'll just be there. Hallelujah.
Yeah, man.
Hallelujah.
Brother Jesus.
Now, when somebody says that they don't have faith for something, what do we say? Let's just say I describe something that I was going to do or about somebody. Yeah, he's going to do this, and you might go, well, I just don't see that.
Wow.
We even say that, don't we?
Yeah.
I can't imagine him doing
that.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. You can't imagine him.
Yeah.
Right? Because you don't believe it, right? You see it. This language, we use it all the time. We just don't necessarily apply it like we ought to the right place in the kingdom. We need to have faith.
Yes, amen? Faith.
I really believe the seeing part of our mind should primarily rule.
Come on.
Because the other part of my mind basically is a nice file for truth. In scriptures, in memories, right?
Yeah, right. It serves the imagination.
It serves something. Yeah, it serves the imagination. Yeah. And the imagination should be what God is working through us. Are y'all still okay?
Yeah.
Would you agree it's good for me to know in my cognitive mind that God loves me? But it's even better to experience.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Paul said things which what? Eye has not seen, nor ear has heard. All that God, or he goes on to say, nor has entered the heart of man. He's talking about the imagination.
Yeah.
Beyond what you've ever imagined, seen or heard. All that God has prepared for those who love him. For these things God revealed unto us by the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Hallelujah. This is powerful. It's by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. This is why I can't necessarily just come up to you and pray that on you. You've got to open your heart up to it. Amen. And receive from the Spirit of God. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart will be enlightened.
Dude, that's true.
That word in the Greek is where we get the word for photograph.
Huh.
Nice.
And with a photo, what happens? Light floods in.
Yeah.
And that's how the image is imprinted.
Wow.
Now think about that. And that's the word that's used in the Greek to where we get photographed. Wow. Think about it. The flooding in. How many would like some light to flood into your imagination?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. The light of God. So, Paul wrote, practice these things. Let me give you five quick things. You ready?
Yeah.
I said quick just to make you feel good. Number one, guard your heart. We've already talked about that, right? Protect the gates. Everybody say, protect the gates.
Protect the gates.
Come on, guys. What does it say? Guard your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs or issues of life. Amen? We need to keep our conscience clear. If you don't, what will happen? You'll have division. Diverse vision. How many of you ever imagined some beautiful, wonderful things in God, but you've also got this other stuff going on?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
And you become double-minded, and then you can't receive from God, and you're double-minded. Amen? Secondly, be intentional, get this, to position yourself to dream. Amen? Yeah. You need to have Part of your prayer time part is just to stop and let the Holy Spirit lead you into this, okay?
Yeah.
You okay with that?
Yeah.
Look what Habakkuk says. Habakkuk 2:1. You know this verse well. I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart, and I will what? Get this. Keep watch.
Dude.
To see what he will speak to me and how I may reply when I am reproved. Go one more verse. Then the Lord answered and said to me, record the vision and scribe it on tablets that the one who what? Reads it may run. Hang on to that. I'm going to mention that again in a moment, okay? All I want to say right now for number two is let's be intentional, hear me, to assume the position. Amen? To get before God and allow Him to develop us in this area. Let's keep watch to see, Lord, what are you speaking? Amen?
Yes.
Number three, abide in the Word. Now, abide in the Word by looking in the Word as a mirror.
Yeah.
That's what James wrote. Remember that? He said, a foolish man is a man who would look into a mirror and then walk away from the mirror and forget what he looked like.
Yeah.
But we do the same thing when we look in the Word and don't realize we're seeing a reflection of who we are in Christ.
Come on, man.
That's what James was writing about.
Yeah.
He said, you look into the perfect law of liberty. Amen. He said, this man who does this will become an effectual doer, not a forgetful hearer.
Wow.
Amen. And he will be blessed in everything that he does.
Hallelujah.
Now, because this is something we really need to look at the Word and imagine Christ in you. Amen.
Yes.
Amen. For it is no longer I who live.
Christ.
I mean, we know that. Christ lives in me. But what does that look like?
Yeah.
I've got to get my imagination and my dreams on board with that, or I won't ever walk in. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah?
Amen.
How many of you ever tried to methodically walk like Christ walked? It's hard if you're not divinity in your heart.
Yes.
Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Because a lot of times religion will ask us to do some things out of... And there's times when there's discipline. I understand that. But man, get your heart on board, and it's really quite easy. It's called walking in the Spirit.
Yes.
Come on. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Number four. Did I give you three?
Yes.
The fourth one. Meditate. While you're in the Word, also meditate on the promises of the covenant. Never forget this. The blood of Jesus makes this yes to you.
Amen.
It's established in the blood that we celebrated today. Right? The blood of Jesus. But also remember this. When you think about the covenant, it is yes to you, but it's enacted upon the promises. So the blood of Jesus makes the covenant, but the covenant is enacted upon these promises. And I've said this to you many times. The most honoring thing you and I can do is believe God.
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
It's a disrespect for what He did on the cross when I don't believe that what He
Come
did
on.
Is sufficient.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So when you activate your faith for a promise, I want you to practice. And we need to do this. Susan and I have been really doing this lately. I want to dream and imagine, for example, let's talk about healing again. I want to dream and imagine what it looks like for me to be healed. Right? Isn't that right, Margie?
Yeah.
Walking without a walker. Amen?
Yeah.
Margie's getting healed, getting stronger and stronger. We're so glad she's with us. But I'm just not picking on Margie. You understand? But we need to activate our imagination to believe what that looks like. Amen?
Yes. Yes.
Amen. I'm believing God for my back issues, and I'm not going to have a weakness in my back, right? But I have to see it differently.
Yeah.
Because the enemy will try to get me in prayer. Well, you know, y'all watch out for Rick. He's got a bad back.
Yeah.
Right?
Come on.
I mean, it can apply to anything. Amen?
Dude.
It really can. It even can apply to other things in our lives that we're trying to get set free from. But what? See yourself healed. See yourself free. Amen?
Amen.
See yourself out of bondage.
Yes.
And in the freedom of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Again, as having already received it.
Yes.
You get that down. Start to dream it. You'll walk right into it. In reality, in an actuality.
Yes.
How many of you love it when you believe for something like that? And you get your breakthrough and you step into it. And you really don't have to believe for it anymore because you got it.
Yeah.
Amen. I love it when I got it, because I don't have to believe for one thing I'm believing for the rest of my life.
Come on,
but I want to give them a play. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Number five. From a heart of worship,
ask in prayer.
Everybody hear me?
Yes.
Activate your faith in prayer. Make your request known. Remember?
Yes.
Make your request known. We have not.
Because we ask not.
Because we ask not. Come on. We all know these words. Dreaming with God is never passive. It's never passive.
That's good.
Okay?
That's good.
Hallelujah. Activate your imagination as you worship Him. To see. How about when you're worshiping? What if we all activated our magic and said, Lord, we want to see and behold your glory, not just sing about it. Yeah. Amen?
Come on.
It'll change the way you even worship God. Another aspect of prayer that I need to touch on, that we're clear, that's not very clear, we're clearly called to do, is we're to pray with our minds, but we're also to pray by the Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah, yeah.
Paul said to do both. In fact, he said in Ephesians, in the aspect of spiritual warfare, he said, pray at all times in the Spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
Because the Spirit of God. And what he's asking us to do, think about this. When you and I pray in the Spirit, we're praying the mysteries of God.
Yeah.
Right. That's what the Bible says. We're also praying the perfect will of God.
Yeah.
Right.
So I would encourage you in that. That's a beautiful time to start imagining, because your regular cognitive brain doesn't have a clue what you're saying.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So as you're praying and worshiping, your imagination can begin to go into the Spirit.
Yeah.
That's what Paul John said. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if what I'm saying today, if you hear this teaching only in the natural man, you'll think, well, that's just craziness.
Yeah.
But if you let your spirit man hear it, man's going, yes, I've been waiting for you to do this a long time.
That's right.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
What it does, it opens us up for revelation, and I believe it fuels our imagination.
Yes. Amen.
I really think it does, to pray in the Spirit. And also, can I say this to you? Always write down and record what the Spirit is giving you. We need to be more diligent about that. Amen?
Yeah.
Write down what God shows you. Write down those dreams. Write down those prophetic words.
Yes.
You ought to have a dream journal.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So that, number one, so the enemy can't steal it, but also so that you and I can go back and re-envision it and re-dream it. Amen?
Yes.
And see it. Sometimes, how many of you need a little pick-me-up, right?
Yeah.
You need to get back to the dream. Like, here it is. God spoke to me. God showed me this.
Yeah.
And then you can begin to develop. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, remember, I told you in the Habakkuk verse, or Habakkuk, depending on whether you're from the south or the north. I've been sitting on the Navajo River. Habakkuk. What? You guys are speaking Hebrew.
Okay.
Not what I was going to say. Wait, remember he said, why do you write it down? Why do you inscribe it? So that he who reads it may run with it. Right?
Amen.
And I've shared this with you, but I want to remind you again. In the Hebrew, it means to say it out loud. Don't just open up your dream journal and go, oh, that was cool.
Bro.
Yeah.
It's to say it. It's to call it in.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a way of being prophetic.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen? Yeah. To decree a thing. Yeah. Amen?
Yeah.
And it will be established for you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So you've got to get our mouths open in this. Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
To see it come. Otherwise, we'll just be dreamers.
That's right.
We just dream a lot, but we don't ever go anywhere. Amen? Dreaming with God and developing a sanctified imagination is what prepares us for action. Peter wrote, I'll just give you the verse. I don't have time to turn there. 1 Peter 1:13. He said, gird up the loins of your mind. Interesting. We don't usually think of loins in our mind.
No.
Right?
No.
He said, gird up the loins of your mind for action. What's he saying? He's saying, prepare, get this, the reproductive aspect of your mind.
Come on, bro. That's
wild. That's
wow.
Loins all. Get the reproductive aspect of your mind on board, and you'll be able to take action.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Wow.
Y'all got that?
Got it.
Go look at a beautiful skyscraper or an office building or a beautiful home. Some architects dreamed that before he ever grew it.
That's right.
Right? Somebody dreamed it. Walt Disney dreamed of having a place for families and children.
That's right.
The happiest place on earth, called Disneyland. He built it in Anaheim, California. Then he dreamed of going to Orlando, Florida, and he's going to call it Disney World, because it's not going to be limited by space and all of that and all the other things. I actually went with my family in the summer of 71, 50 years ago.
Wow.
I went with my family. We drove from Memphis, Tennessee to Orlando to the opening of Disney World.
Really?
Not to the opening ceremony, but the year it opened. In 1971, Polaroid pictures and all. Shake it like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway. And I heard this story, and I'm not quoting it verbatim because I've read it several times. It said the ribbon cutting ceremony for Disney World, Walt Disney had died before it was finished.
Right.
Okay? Remember that. So a lot of his board of directors and all got up and were talking about, we're so excited about this, you know, about this dream of Walt's and all of this. And then he said, one guy just got emotional. He said, I just wish Walt could have seen it. Well, when his wife got up at the end, she corrected them.
Oh, bro.
She said, I want to say to all of you today, Walt saw this before you saw it.
Yeah.
Isn't that powerful?
That is
every
powerful.
Time I share that,
wow.
I feel the
night. Yeah. Night.
Hallelujah. Walt saw it.
Amen. Amen.
I I see this room not holding what God wants to do.
Right.
Are y'all with me? I see things.
What do you see?
Are y'all with me?
What do you see?
You got to get there. There's a story of, y'all heard of David Yonggi Cho, the Korean pastor. One time his church got up over 700,000 or something like that. A little bit bigger than we are. In his mind, no, in my mind. They said at the very beginning he rented a tent. And I think the tent could seat a couple hundred folks. And the only people who were there was his girlfriend. He wasn't even married yet. His girlfriend and his mom and a couple other family members, like five or six people. And he was screaming and shouting and preaching with all of his might. His wife finally said, "Why are you being so loud?" She goes, "We're right there on the front row, and there's only a half a dozen of us here." And he goes, "I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to the 300 people that are going to fill this tent." Are you with me?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Isn't that good?
Hallelujah.
Isn't that good? How many of you notice in the world, successful people who dream are successful?
Yeah.
It's because they dream. They know how to dream. They have a vibrant imagination. Amen? We see it all around us.
Yes.
People who know their God would dream too.
Yes.
Amen? Billy Graham dreamed of millions coming to Christ.
Yeah.
And he was probably the most influential evangelist of the last century, was he not?
Yeah.
He dreamed of that. Oral Roberts dreamed of building a first-class Christian university.
Come on.
A spirit-filled Christian university. On farmland outside of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yeah. It wasn't even in the city limits back then.
Yeah.
And he walked on that land, his book says, he walked that land praying in the Holy Ghost.
Come on,
and God started showing him buildings.
Yeah.
He's showing him even the praying hands thing that they put up.
Come
and
on,
the prayer tower.
He saw
all
that.
He saw all that.
Yeah.
Walking around praying in tongues.
Yeah.
He saw it before it ever got built.
Yeah.
Are you with me, guys?
Spirit.
Come on, guys. Martin Luther King. Under much oppression and much persecution, many times imprisoned in a prison cell. He dreamed, did he not, of a day when segregation and racism would fall on this land. Amen? He dreamed of it. Hallelujah. When men would no longer be judged by the color of their skin. Y'all know what is it? But by the content of their character. Amen? He dreamed that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Now, I've had a lot of people ask me when I talk on this subject. I'll say a lot of people. It has come up to me before and many times. We don't need to be afraid to develop and cultivate our imagination for God. Do we agree?
Yes.
Dreams and visions are a part of the revelation God gives us so that we won't lose our way. But there are dreams in the night. Let me quickly address this. For example, you remember when Joseph was visited in a dream by an angel to tell him it was going to be okay to marry Mary. Marry Mary.
Yep.
Are y'all with me? He needed to have that, right?
Right.
And that happened. And there's other circumstances where men and women of God receive dreams in the night. But how many of you know, just in general, dreams in the night can't really be trusted?
Yeah. Come on.
Hello?
You
got to be able to discern whether that was from God or not. Hello?
Yeah.
Or whether it was a pizza.
Yeah. Come on. Come on.
Y'all with me?
Yeah,
we actually say that. Well, that's just a pizza dream, man. That's just too wacky. That couldn't have been God. Of course, sometimes I find out later that was God. But anyway.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. I believe the more we intentionally dream and develop our imagination, I believe it'll be more and more common to have even the night dreams that God gives to us. Because the Bible says He gives to His beloved even in their sleep.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So I believe we can capture that. But not if we've not developed a sanctified imagination. Because let's be honest, how many of you ever dreamed about somebody, maybe their name came up or you saw somebody you hadn't seen in a while, and then that night you dream some wacky dream and they're in it. Anybody with me?
Oh yeah.
It's what happens when something goes into your subconscious mind.
Yeah.
And so this is what people can think, this can get a little wonky, a little crazy. But it is with dreaming at night. But I want to tell you, I believe the more we dream intentionally, that our night dreams may become even more dynamic.
Yes, they will.
You might say, can I have a scripture for that? The only one I have is that He gives to us even in our sleep.
Yes.
So I believe we can believe for it. Amen?
Yes.
Everybody okay with that?
Yes.
All right. Hallelujah. Okay. Dreaming is what leads to vision. Say that with me.
Dreaming is
what leads to vision. So I encourage you, no matter how young you are, no matter how old you are, position yourselves to dream. Okay? None of this, again, is about some New Age visualization stuff, okay? Because that's the counterfeit, okay?
Yep.
Not at all. It's about having a sincere heart of worship and being in communion with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
The Spirit of truth, okay? And that's why it's said. So, let's be intentional to guard our hearts. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's be intentional to assume the position. You've got to take some time to dream with God, and be intentional to look into the mirror of the Word of God, to see who you are in Christ. Amen? Be intentional about the promises of God, and from a heart of worship, make your requests known to God. I said this earlier, but Susan and I are determined to be more intentional, to dream, and to not become confined and closed in by all the other circumstances and distractions around us. We really want to get to that place.
Come on.
Anybody want to join me?
Yeah, man.
Where we can intentionally dream together about what God has planned for us, for our lives, our marriage, our family, and for this church, and for the ministry. Amen?
Yeah.
Remember when Abraham was in his tent, the Lord brought him out of his tent? Remember that? He brought him out of his tent intentionally and had him look up at the stars in the sky. Which are innumerable account. He said, if you can count them, so shall your descendants be. Remember that? He brought him out to that. But also, do you remember when he brought Abraham into the land? Remember, he brought him to the land, and he actually showed him the land he was going to give him. And he said this to him, now lift up your eyes, get this, from the place where you are currently, right? And he said, northward, southward, eastward, southward, eastward and westward. Amen? And get this, for all the land which you see, in other words, that you can imagine for, I will give it to you and to your descendants forever.
Wow.
See, we've got to be willing to look from where we are.
Wow.
Sometimes we think in this kind of stuff, we've got to get to some other place. And the Lord says, no, you've got to see it before you ever venture out.
That's right.
Amen?
That's good.
Because you'll never pursue it. We all can begin to look forward outwardly. And lift up our eyes and begin to look forward from where we currently are. I believe we need to move about this city and our community, don't you?
Yeah.
We need to move about every place there's been an open door. Whether it be like the Navajo Nation or the Apache Nation or wherever doors have been opened to us, in every opportunity, we need to do it with our imaginations wide open. Amen?
Amen.
Believe me, there's a purpose and a harvest that God wants to come for the kingdom of God. Especially so if we want to imitate the faith of those who are our forefathers, those who dream.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
So we have to be willing to do that, because those who dream will ultimately dream. When it's all said and done, the biggest part of our dream is a harvest.
Amen.
A great harvest. Amen? From among every tribe and every tongue and every nation. I told you this, would be God's profile page on Facebook, right? A picture of men and women from the book of Revelation, from every tribe, every tongue, and every nation worshiping before the Lamb. Amen? Well, what a profile picture, amen? But you got to get that into your imagination of what that looks like. And you know, when we go out, we're going to go out with joy and with compassion, and sometimes even as sowing seed, we have to do it with tears, right? But we'll get to reap it with joy, amen? We'll get to reap it with great joy, the harvest of the Lord. So here's what I'd like you to do with me. Would you, let's just put our devices down, our Bibles down, and let's just take a moment right now. Just bow your heart before the Lord. Just take a moment. I just want to pray for each of you and those of you at home too. Let's receive forgiveness right now. Because if you need to receive forgiveness for giving your imagination to the wrong things, would you just repent right quick? Just be sincere. Maybe you've had a vain imagination, just ask the Lord. And then in your heart right now, choose to repent. Choose to turn. Let's do better. Amen. Let's all do better. Let's offer our hearts and our minds to be sanctified to the Lord for His purposes. Would you pray with me together?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes. Now I'd like you to lift up your face to heaven.
You.
Keep your eyes closed, okay? And pray with me. Oh Lord, I am ready.
I am ready.
To dream your dreams.
Dream your dreams.
From where I am
currently.
Come.
Come.
Holy Spirit of truth.
Holy Spirit,
lead me into truth.
Show me what is to come.
Allow me to dream
your
dreams and to see what the Lord has planned for me. I choose, O Lord, to delight my heart in your heart, in your desires, in you. Your kingdom come and your will be done. In my life, in my family, in my church, in my ministry, as it is in heaven. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now stay in prayer if you would. Now I want to read portions of two apostolic prayers from the book of Ephesians over you. And I'm going to read them to you out of the Passion Translation because they so
bring such power and light to. And I want you to receive. Now, as you receive, you know, respond to God as you feel led. You want to say amen or yes, Lord, or whatever. But just engage with these words, because this is coming straight from the Scripture to you. You ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
They are infused with life. And I believe if you'll open your heart right now, we just repented to the Lord. Let's just right now receive the power of these apostolic prayers into our lives right now in Jesus' name. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'm going to pray it just as Paul prayed it. I pray that the Father of glory, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, would impart to you the riches of the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of revelation, to know Him through your deepening intimacy with Him. I pray that the light of God will illuminate the eyes of your imagination. Anybody want that?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Flooding you with light until you experience the full revelation of the hope of His calling. Hallelujah. I say yes to that. That is the wealth of God's glorious inheritances that He finds in us, His holy ones. I pray that you will continually experience the immeasurable greatness of God's power made available to you through faith. Then your lives will be an advertisement of this immense power as it works through you. Does anybody want that? Come on. Come on, that's powerful. This is the mighty power that was released when God raised Christ from the dead and exalted Him to the highest place of honor and supreme authority in the heavenly realm. Y'all receive that?
Amen.
Now I'm going to go over to the next apostolic prayer in Ephesians 3. Continue to stay in prayer with me now. Receive it. So I kneel humble in awe before the Father of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. The perfect Father of every father and every child in heaven and on the earth. And I pray that He would unveil within you, here it is, the unlimited riches of His glory and favor, until supernatural strength floods your innermost being. Hallelujah. With His divine might and His explosive power.
Hallelujah.
Say power.
Power.
Then, by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside of you. And the resting place of His love will become the very source and root of your life. Beloved, that's where we went today in worship, did we not?
Hallelujah.
That's exactly where we went in worship today. Then you will be empowered to discover what every Holy One experiences. Here it is. The great magnitude of the astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. Hallelujah. How deep, how wide, amen. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is His love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. This extravagant love pours into you. Get this. Until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Hallelujah. Never doubt. Never doubt.
Never doubt.
Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request. I love this. Your most unbelievable dream and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for His miraculous power constantly energizes you. Now we offer up to God all the glorious praise that arises from every church in every generation through Jesus Christ, in all that will yet be manifest through time and eternity. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. You receive that?
Yes.
Those two prayers are found in Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 3. Our many, many years ago, the great faith teacher, Kenneth Hagin, he said he prayed those prayers over his life every day. When he would get before God, he would bow down and pray that in the first person over his life every day. Because people talk about the revelation some of the men and women of God have had. But see, they tapped into it.
Yeah.
And you know what? We all qualify to tap into it.
Amen.
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 So I bless you today. Amen. With a grace of God to be on you. Amen. I bless you with the grace of intentionality and purpose.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Let's start this. Let's start this. Hit the time clock for prayer. I need to pray.
Yeah.
Amen. Don't look at. Go into prayer and bring this dimension into prayer. Amen. Amen. And into your worship life before God. Hallelujah. Let's dream.
Hallelujah.
Are there any dreamers here?
Dream.
Yes.
Let's be known as those who dream. Hallelujah. It'll take our faith to another level. Glory be to God. Let's stand up. Let's stand up, everybody. Can we close with a worship song? And hallelujah. Can we just close with a song of worship? And then of course, we have to do our breakdown here. Not like emotional breakdown, but equipment breakdown. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just bless all of you today. I just prayed a great blessing over you. I don't know what else I could say. Except the Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord make His face shine upon you. Let's just sing a song of worship before we go. And if you need prayer specifically for something else that wasn't addressed today in the service, please come down to the front. We'll be glad to pray for you. But let's do it now. Don't wait because we have to start breaking down equipment. It's going to be loud. So anyway, God bless all of our friends online. We love you. See you soon.
If the altar's where you lead, take me there. I wanna be tried.